The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where every week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are actually helping you to live out what you really feel called to in your heart? There is so much peace of mind that comes when you sense that your money is aligned with your values and your convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there really, really is peace of mind when you know that deep down, your financial goals are in sync with your values and convictions. There's so much anxiety and worry and all the stuff that goes along with that when that alignment isn't present.
That's right, James, but that's easier said than done. There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing, possibly even scary.
That's right. And when you're confused or scared, you simply aren't making good decisions. And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be, and it can hurt you pretty badly as well. Well, welcome to episode 34?
35?
35. Episode 35. Welcome to episode 35.
That's right.
Of Money and Mission. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. Each week, in the first part of our show, we'll talk about some current financial events so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
And then partway through the show, we get to our weekly puzzler. And a weekly puzzler is just a brain teaser. The last couple puzzlers have not even been brain teasers. They've just been little obscure facts. So I can hardly wait to get to that brain teaser or the weekly puzzler today. We don't know if it'll be interesting to you, but it's interesting to us. And we're the ones doing the show, right?
So we're going to keep it going.
So we're going to keep it going. They haven't thrown us off the air yet.
That's right. So let's jump right in, James.
Yeah.
In our week in review, what did you think was a financial news highlight throughout this past week?
Well, you know, again, I'm not sure if this is really a highlight or not, but I was just thinking, we hear about interest rates, rates going up, rates going down, and the Fed. We've said this before, the Fed controls the short end. So whenever the Fed changes rates, near-term rates change. But then the market tends to control longer-term rates.
That's right.
As investors buy or sell bonds. And that creates this yield curve, which we've talked about before. But it's almost easy to sometimes get confused about, is the tail wagging the dog or... You know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? You know, we know that if rates go up, that's because bonds went down in value. But what causes bonds to go down in value? Do bonds go down in value because rates go up? Or, you know, are investors in the market really selling bonds? And because of the selling pressure, then the price of bonds goes down.
Sure.
Right? So... It's important to remember that typically we're talking about treasuries when we look at yields like that. And treasuries are an enormously liquid market.
And treasuries are bonds.
Treasury bonds.
By the U.S. government.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. But
as opposed to like a corporate bond where companies would issue one.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But treasuries, you know, the U.S. Treasury market is a just huge market around the globe. So it's not like some obscure, you know, Wildlife of Texas stock or, you know, something that's way out here in the far reaches of the world that's thinly traded or something like that. So, you know, what's happening when bonds are going down in value, when investors are selling bonds, it's really sort of a proxy for how investors feel about what they think is coming up in the economy. And effectively, the market is pricing in either the need or the desire to get higher rates because they think that either inflation assumptions or, you know, economic assumptions are going one way or another. So
given what circumstances they have, they want that money to work for them.
That's right. And so if yields are down, that simply means that the market is willing to accept a lower yield, a lower rate of return for the money that's being invested. So it's a cause and effect kind of thing, but it tells us something about where investors' expectations are at. And that's important because then those same assumptions show up in other assets. So if investors are really wanting more safety and that's driving the price of bonds up, then that tends to have an inverse effect other places in the markets. That shows up in our statements, you know, as investors. So it's something we keep an eye on, because not so much just the fact that rates are changing, but what it's telling us about where the market's at in general.
Sure. Yeah. Well, let's switch some gears here.
Switching gears.
Yeah. Have you been hearing about those California wildfires?
I have.
Yes. It has been dominating the headlines in the news. Very, very tragic what's going on out there.
That's right.
I think we've talked on the show maybe a few months ago that some of the insurance carriers in California, property insurance, were no longer offering renewals.
I do remember us talking about that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now it looks like that State Farm is reversing course, and they're the largest insurer in California, and they're now offering renewals to residential policyholders in the Los Angeles County affected by those wildfires.
Mm. In spite of their previous plans.
That's right.
They've kind of reversed course a little bit.
Yeah. So what do you think the impact will be on that? And I know the insurance commissioner out there in California is putting a little pressure on the other carriers to have them follow suit.
Yeah.
So if they all start covering these massive amounts of, which isn't the folks' fault, they're out. So everyone feels bad for them and feels like they need some sort of coverage. But what would happen if these insurance carriers are picking up these enormous bills?
Well, remember, that means money just left the proverbial checkbook.
Yeah.
So if money leaves the proverbial checkbook, it means the insurer no longer has that money. We're just sort of following this through. That sounds pretty elementary. I had to write money out of my checkbook, and therefore I don't have it anymore. But how does an insurer...
And it makes you wonder, with the amount of homes lost and the cost of those homes, thinking Hawaii or now in the Palisades, do they even have enough money in their coffers to cover all that?
That's an interesting question, yeah. But so the money left the checkbook, so how does an insurer get money in the checkbook?
Writing new policies and collecting premiums.
And collecting premiums.
And denying claims.
But if they have to get more money back, there's always something called increasing premiums.
Yeah. And we talked about how that's been very impactful for folks in those areas as well.
So that's right.
That continues to rise.
We have this love-hate relationship going on with insurance companies, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we hate to write our premium checks, but we sure like it when something happens. We want to be able to pick up the phone and ask to get reimbursed.
And imagine being someone who they say no to, or we just can't.
Or something like that. Yeah, so it's a funny coin that doesn't have two sides, right? But we really do have to keep that in mind. And I do think it's not surprising. And California is not the only place, right? Because the cost of replacing a home has become more and more expensive all across the country. So watch for those rate increases from insurance companies.
Yeah,
I think it's almost a forecast that we will probably see more insurance company rate increases as we continue to go. But I, you know, the other thing we talked about is the impact of this kind of natural disaster in like municipal bonds as well.
Oh yeah,
as those municipalities may have to borrow money to help with some of the cleanup and so on,
rebuilding
so
their infrastructure.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Driving an already over leveraged system by borrowing more.
That's right.
Right. Maybe not a bad reason. Cleaning up from a natural disaster is
got to be done.
Something that needs to happen.
But it wasn't in the budget.
It wasn't in the budget. That's right.
So let's move on to, I know everyone else in the news has been hearing about this Greenland and Panama Canal acquisition.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I don't have an opinion.
None at all?
None.
Joe, I think that's a first.
There's no opinion. No, this is a fascinating topic, though. Think about.
So, what would be Greenland. Some of the arguments for acquiring something like Greenland or the Panama Canal?
So you have this enormous landmass that stretches way up into the Arctic Circle, mm-hmm. and there has been discussion of the potential savings on shipping costs if we could only find some way to ship products through the Arctic Circle instead of either through one of the canals, Suez Canal or Panama.
I see here this argument. It's that the argument goes the region will become more passable mm-hmm. as the ice melts for ships,
as
offering shorter routes and moving cargo between population centers.
Yeah. So if you can save on shipping costs like that, and shipping is such an enormous factor in the availability of goods and services, then that could have an impact on controlling inflation
right.
as well.
And the Panama Canal, let's switch direction. Instead of ice melting, they just went through a very big drought that affected them.
The last couple of years, there's been a big drought, which has made shipping more difficult. So if there was an alternative shipping route, that would be tremendously useful
yeah.
in that regard. So one other note I saw was that there's a huge amount of rare earth minerals as well under the ice caps in Greenland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but we are almost out of time here. Yeah. So
maybe we'll pick back up and see how that goes.
How was that for not having an opinion?
Well, thanks, folks, for listening. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission, where we're talking every week about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And there, you know, we've got some great stuff to talk about here
Amazing.
Today.
Every yeah, day.
Every day, every time. But but there is one thing that we didn't hit in our notes in that first segment that I really, really wanted to talk about a little bit.
What's that?
And that is this program that Google came up with, Willow?
Yeah, Willow. That's the quantum computing?
Quantum computing.
Mm-hmm. Sounds really nerdy. I like it.
Yeah, that's right. I've been trying to wrap my head around this quantum computing thing for a while.
Well, I don't think you're about to do it with this article.
Not with this one, no. But you know what really caught my attention?
Yeah. Though?
This program, they say, makes it possible for a computer to solve a computation in less than 5 minutes that it would take one of the fastest computers so far 10 septillion years.
Yeah. What does that even mean?
And, you know, what was... Septillion.
So the fastest computer we currently have, it would take 10 septillion years, and the Willow from Google, the quantum computer, did it under 5 minutes.
Under 5 minutes.
Wow.
Wow.
Things are changing.
I mean, technology for sure is one of those things that is just driving a changing paradigm in our world today.
That's 10 to the 25 zeros.
10 to the 20. I mean, if you count it, I don't know, we should do a little study of how many seconds 10 septillion. That's just too many. But that's years.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's quantum, years.
Quantum computing. So, I mean, it's probably safe to say that the Willow chip is like a major step on a journey that has been going on for a number of years already. But we're getting there. So we had artificial intelligence. And now we got the quantum computing thing. I wonder.
And a lot of folks are worried about cybersecurity threats because they're saying if this were to fall into the wrong hands, that no sort of encryption is safe.
No, yeah.
This will crack it in milliseconds.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it could do a tremendous number of good things too, like solving complex supply chain problems.
Maybe they'll finally figure out pi. The 3.14,
that's right.
Going and go.
That's right. So anyway, I just, you know, we didn't get to that in the first segment, and I thought, I just can't pass here. We got to talk about quantum computing at least a little bit.
I'm sure we will be again in the future.
We will. That's mm-hmm. right. We'll do it quickly.
Okay. In under 5 minutes.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, if there's only one thing that you take away from our conversation today, we hope that you'll remember that there is a right way to approach planning and a wrong way to approach planning.
Yes.
Right.
It can have some consequences.
There are only two ways to approach planning, right? The right way and the wrong way.
No gray.
Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4 says this, that through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches.
So wisdom, understanding, and knowledge.
Yeah, that's right. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge.
So they're not the same.
They are not. I mean, I don't know about you, but my brain tends to get sidetracked on like definitions. You know, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge.
I just read a quote about this the other day. I'm going to butcher it, but I think knowledge is the information. Your understanding is how you can process it, and then the wisdom is, that's the part I forget, but that's the one where you can do it such and such.
That's right. Well, we're actually going to talk about that today.
What?
Yeah.
I'm ill-prepared.
Yeah, you're so ill-prepared. That's
correct my statement.
That's right. Well, I mean, let's say it here because we'll get to it as we go through our time here today. But wisdom, then, is the ability to make good decisions in complex situations.
Mm. Because you understand the knowledge you were given.
That's right.
Aha, that's it.
That's exactly
thank
right.
Thank you. That was bothering me.
Yeah, it was bothering you. So, thank me. Just don't leave it hanging out there, right? It's going to bother me this whole time. But, you know, these verses kind of imply a process for principled planning. And in I remember early on in the business of being a financial advisor and a financial planner, I ran across a graphic picture that was called upside down planning, and it was contrasted with right side up planning.
Interesting.
Upside down planning contrasted with right side up planning. I guess before we get to that, I should probably just say that life can get really discouraging and frustrating if you have piles and piles of information and you have no idea what that information means.
Oh, sure.
Right.
I feel like that a lot throughout life.
That's right. I mean, I don't know if this ever happened to you. We're the information superhighway, right? The internet is a wonderful thing. So much information. It's just, what does this all mean?
I just need to understand it better.
That's right. There's information all over the place. Even worse, of course, is if you have all this information and you kind of think, oh, I've got it. Like, I know exactly what that means.
Mm.
And then, oops,
You were on the wrong track.
You actually didn't. Yeah, that's exactly right. But by the time you, unfortunately, by the time you figure out usually that you didn't know what it meant, it's because it's way too late.
Oof. That's a bad time
to
get the right information.
You already made a bad decision, and now, again, you're like, what just happened to me?
Just enough information to know you did the wrong thing.
That's exactly right. So upside-down planning looks like an upside-down pyramid. If you you divide that pyramid into three basic layers, right, and the pointy part of the pyramid is upside-down.
Okay.
So what does that look like? Well, in upside-down planning, what happens is you're looking at all these piles of details. So there's financial headlines, there's news headlines, there's all this stuff coming at you, right?
Just noise.
Noise, that's right. And it just rolls through and rolls through. And you know, I mean, it happens to all of us. You read this thing, you see this picture, and it evokes some emotion. And that emotion drives you to doing something because of how you feel.
Yeah.
I mean, we typically do. That's how we make decisions, right? Based on a feeling to avoid pain or gain something that we want.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we start in upside down planning. You start by looking at all these piles of details, and then you have all these feelings, and then you're trying to figure out.
And a whirlwind of emotions. Not sure how to make sense of it.
That's
heads
right.
From tails.
This is not sounding good so far, right? I mean, all this stuff and a whirlwind of emotions, and then you're trying to figure out what it all means.
Ooh. That can be tough.
That's right. But you know you need to do something because you can feel it.
And a decision needs to be made.
I mean, the information's out there. The headline is there. And so finally you make a decision. And then you hope that whatever you did was right.
And you didn't mess up too bad.
That's right. And this is a really bad spot to be because...
I mean, even something as easy as rolling over your employer account to the wrong IRA.
Your 401k.
Yeah. Could cost you lots and lots of money.
That's right.
Just consuming all this information, but not knowing really what it means.
That's right. And if you're doing this upside down thing where you've got all the detail rolling in, all this information rolling in, and the emotions are there and everything else.
You heard it's good to move it, so you think you should move it, but you're not moving it the right way.
That's right. So guess what happens like the next day? There's more information that rolls in, right? And now you read about how what you just did was the wrong thing. Oh, my goodness.
Then your one investor buddy said, Oh, by the way.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, all right. So in right side up planning, I mean, it's really not funny. We're kind of laughing about it. And you have to find some
humor. We've all made these mistakes.
That's exactly right. But in right side up planning, what's happening is that you... instead of starting with all the details, you are starting with a clear vision of your mission and what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, we talk about that often, don't we?
We do talk, and we just can't say it strongly enough, right? After you have that clear vision, then you read and you study and you gather information, and as a final step...
Figure out what needs to be done.
That's right. As a final step, then you make... decisions.
That's like trying to drop all the materials off without having blueprints for a house.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's right.
Got to have a clear vision of what you're trying to accomplish.
That's right.
Running a one-story house with a garage. All right, now let's figure out what needs to happen, what materials we need.
That's right. So let's really spend some time this week talking about that. But before we get to the rest of what we're planning to talk about, there was some information that occurred this week, which was relevant to our weekly puzzler last week.
Oh, we're going there right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I'm mixed bag on it. I'm kind of happy and I'm kind of sad.
About the
puzzler,
information?
Yeah. If I think I know where you're going.
Okay. So what was the puzzler last week was one of those... Where does Pennsylvania rank nationally in football this year?
Yeah, well, it's kind of hard to quantify that, but there was Penn State and Nittany Lions were in the Final Four for the college football playoff, and the Steelers and the Eagles were in the playoffs for the NFL. Hmm. So we had three teams. Mm-hmm. Two of them got knocked out.
Is that good information or bad information?
That's bad for a Pennsylvanian.
That's bad for a Pennsylvanian.
Because Penn State's out. We're all sad about that. We're kind of split on the Steelers because I'm a Ravens fan and we knocked them out, so I'm mighty happy.
Right.
So I'm half sad, half happy about that.
So what's the answer to the question?
Well, they're no longer ranked in football, and there's still a chance for the Eagles to be number one in the end. So stay tuned.
So is this one of those questions that really doesn't have an answer?
Absolutely not. Oh, man. We just wanted to talk football.
We just wanted to talk football. Well, you know, these puzzles are supposed to have an answer. Oh, my goodness.
We'll do better.
We'll do better. We really do need to do better.
Well, we're going to take a break, folks. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And I'm Eric.
And we did not get to the actual weekly puzzler
because
we were spending so much time on where Pennsylvania is ranked in football.
It was an important conversation.
That was an important conversation. It was information. As we were saying, there's lots of information out there, lots of noise. And
and I just want the folks to understand it.
I just want people to understand. That's exactly right. So, well, this week's puzzler, Greenland, since we talked about Greenland. Greenland is how much bigger than the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania?
How much bigger, huh?
How much bigger? Greenland is how much bigger than the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania? If you think you know the answer without looking it up.
Okay, Google this.
Yeah, don't Google this. Information is out there, but please don't Google it. All right, if you think you know the answer, send it to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the correct answer on the podcast next week. Well, we're talking about
upside down, right side up planning.
Right side up planning. We're talking about wisdom, understanding, and knowledge.
That's right.
And
again, knowledge are the facts, you said, right?
Knowledge is the facts.
Okay.
Information. Which we have plenty of in our world today, right?
We sure do.
The information superhighway.
And understanding? Have we gotten to that part yet?
No, we didn't get to that part yet.
Okay.
Just information. All over the place.
Books, internet, YouTube videos. All your friends have opinions. They're telling you what's going on in the world, whether or not that's accurate.
Educational institutions.
Yes.
Lots and lots of information there. So this kind of begs the question. Well, I mean, you mentioned the internet. I read some things on the internet, therefore they must be true. Right?
Right. We all know that phrase now.
Yeah. I mean, how do you decide whether it's true or not? That's kind of a whole other topic to unpack.
Seems like consensus now.
What?
On what's accurate and what's not.
Oh.
I know a lot of these social media platforms could have had this in a week in review, but they're moving away from fact checkers and third parties, and they're now moving to what's called like community notes, where everybody in the community is able to add, and I think it comes to like a consensus or things.
Interesting. So if enough people agree about something, then it must be true.
Must be.
Wow. Well, yeah.
I don't know exactly how it works, but it seems like leaving it in the hands of one third party entity to be the purveyor of truth and misinformation. I don't know.
That's right. I mean, this is important because
we all want accurate information.
That's right. But this is important because sometimes people do planning and wealth management like this. They just go, I mean, information is coming through and they look to see how many people agree, how many people disagree.
Watch a YouTube video.
And then they make
We hear that decisions. From clients a lot.
Right. Oh, I
like,
saw
hey,
this
James,
one.
Yeah, I've seen a video about this coin or this stock or this strategy. What should we do?
What should we do? I saw this. And if I disagree with the YouTube video.
Yeah.
Never mind. James, you're a certified financial planner. Do you agree with this video, this YouTube video? No. James, you must be wrong.
Well, first you got to spend a half hour, an hour to watch it.
That's right. to see what exactly is going on there. So this is on the bar for putting information on the internet is not really that high.
No.
Right.
Oh no, not at all.
But then the question is if information coming through you through the internet is but the internet is a useful tool.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, because you can find.
Never in our history have we had so much information available at our fingertips in a matter of seconds.
That's exactly right.
But maybe that's why it's a bad thing also, because there's so much information available at our fingertips in a few seconds.
That's right.
What kind of knowledge you derive from that?
That's exactly
or
right.
Or understanding.
The key point is, like, yeah. What in the world does this all mean? Because it's all flowing at us all at once. So are educational institutions any better? Like, is the information coming from an educational institution automatically better than just what you get from a YouTube video?
I would hope so. That's I'd say people's dollars or votes that they hope so.
I would hope so. That's right. But you have competing opinions, for example, about the difference between classical economics, which are taught at some educational institutions, Keynesian theory economics, just to name two, and the people who subscribe to these different economics theories and schools of thoughts, they would have enormous debates and arguments.
That's healthy.
Yeah.
Like political schools of thought.
But they can't both be right. So you've got information. There are books, of course. Books can be fact or fiction. You have romance books, fantasy books, science fiction books, historical fiction, documentaries, all this information all over the place. What about, did you ever get stock tips like from at the barber shop?
Me? No.
No, I never have either.
Nope.
I've heard about people getting stock tips at the barber shop, and then I'm
not so sure I'd take it.
That's right. That has never happened to me.
If I heard one, it'd probably raise an eyebrow, and I'd look into it now that I'm thinking about it. But
yeah, that's right.
It's never happened.
Usually, if you start getting investment advice from your barber, your hairstylist, right, the Uber driver, that is how you know the market is overvalued. Right?
It's funny.
You don't even have to figure out if you understand what they're talking about. You automatically know if it's coming from that source.
I think it was at Gronkowski.
Right.
Got a tip from his gardener. I think that was the article I read.
Mm.
And it was to buy Apple years ago, and it went from like 10,000 to 100,000. I don't remember what it was.
Right.
And he attributes all that to his gardener giving him a stock tip.
It turned out to be right.
But that could have been dangerous.
It could have been, yeah. Information overload, right, coming from your gardener. neighbors, of course, have information. So, and then, of course, there are trusted advisors. And we'll talk more about trusted advisors as we go. But
these are licensed, credentialed.
Licensed, credentialed.
The real deal.
The real. That's exactly right. The real deal. And that could be a financial advisor. It could be an attorney. It could be a CPA. And I think there's other, you know, licensed, credentialed folks who become known as guides and counselors.
I was just about to say, like a life coach even.
Life coaches.
Can be a part of that circle of yours.
That's right. Pastors of churches.
Absolutely.
Right. And sometimes psychologists and doctors. So you have
a very holistic approach.
That's right. And so you have professionals who can help to not just disseminate information, but also to interpret and help understand exactly what that means. But there is a basic principle at play here, and it is the know, believe, do principle, where at some point in life, most people need to think through the things that they believe. You know, they've gotten all this information and they've built a system of beliefs, and because of what they believe, that's what they do. And this
also most think through the things that they know.
Think through the
and
things.
Make a decision about what those are true, then they'll believe it to be true.
That's right.
And then they'll do them.
That's right. Yeah. So they have to think through the things they know and decide whether they believe it. But sometimes people have beliefs that they...
Seems like a natural process.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to see it laid out that way.
That's right. And it does make a difference because, I mean, when you think about it, philosophically, we all receive information and we automatically make decisions about whether we believe what we've heard or read.
Based on all kind of things.
Biases and all that. Mm-hmm. And then we do something with that. This is on full display. This is on full display when people review things like the investment strategy they've always used. What have they come to believe about that investment strategy? What are the things they know? What are the strengths and the weaknesses? The financial plan they've been following for years. Is that
in line with heuristics? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, heuristics is really all about these mental shortcuts that people make where they...
Since I've been doing it that way, I'm just going to keep doing it that way.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or because of things that I haven't even thought about, you know, I'm confronted with new information and I just sort of, I don't really make a thoughtful judgment call. I just sort of jump to a conclusion.
Based on X, Y, or Z, depending what type of heuristic.
That's right.
Yeah, I think that sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, again, people just follow the investment plan they've always used, the investment assumptions they've always used, the financial plan they've been following for years, the spending decisions that they're making, the kinds of insurance policies they buy, the way
thinking their will is still good.
Thinking their will is still good. Yeah. That's right. Years and years go by, my will is still good. Mm-hmm. So
once they decide it's true,
yes.
Then what?
Well, again, when you decide something is true, you do something with it.
Okay. You want to make sure you're doing the right thing.
You do want to make sure you're doing the right thing. But whether you believe it or not, again, and I know this is really philosophical, but we have to, I think, understand this reality when it comes to our wealth management and our investments. If I believe something is true, then I do. So what I do, I've effectively decided that is something I believe in, something that's true. Even if I don't understand it. When I do something, I wouldn't do it by definition if I didn't believe it was true.
Sure.
Right? And so if I buy XYZ stock, it's because I think I'm going to make money on it.
Yeah.
Probably.
Absolutely. Right? Or at least not lose your shirt.
That's right. If I buy a particular insurance policy, it's because I think it's going to do what I thought that it would. I believe that. The information I received, I processed that, and I buy it. I take action with it. If I write certain language in my will, it's because I've been advised that that is going to accomplish a certain thing, and I believe the information, and then I do something with it.
Right. And if they decide it's not true, then they'll just keep on making decisions the same way they always have.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. Consciously or unconsciously, right? Mm-hmm. And so all this information comes at us. We have to decide, you know, do we understand it? Do we believe it? Yes or no? And whether we do or not makes all the difference in the world in the actions we take.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll finish up with our last segment. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we are talking about knowledge, understanding, and wisdom.
right.
Right? And
we went through the knowledge.
All the pile of information that's out there, but what does any of that information mean?
Let's make sense of it.
Right? We interpret information through lenses. Right?
Sure.
And it's so important, I think, to have an understanding of a clear understanding of our own convictions and what we're all about, our purpose, right? Otherwise, we're just flying around. The Bible describes it as being like a wave tossed in the ocean, right, in the middle of a storm. And we all know there's not a lot of stability there. So one of the things that I would really recommend, though, is that we should keep in mind to first be students of our Christian beliefs, right, and principles, and then interpret knowledge and events through our best understanding of our faith and convictions.
And that's why we said priests can be part of your trusted advisory group.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. This sounds simple, but it is profoundly important because understanding the information that we are receiving is the key to our decisions and what we do, the way we structure our planning, the way the decisions we make on our wealth management. This impacts the lives of
people. And the things we don't do.
And the things we don't do.
It's not worth my time, my money.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, example, you read about insurance policies, for example, that pay death benefits at death, disability, or some other event.
Yep.
And that's true.
Sure is.
If it's a good policy, it will do exactly what it says, right? But it
doesn't. Does it completely protect you, though?
Yeah, actually, a policy really doesn't. A policy cannot.
Covered.
You receive financial value if that event happened, but is that protection? I mean, that's not protection.
I'd give that money back so it didn't happen in the first place.
That's right. That's right. Only God can protect you. So if you buy this insurance policy, and we're not saying you shouldn't. I mean, it's a good idea to have the right insurances in place.
Well, on that one, it's not a if, but when.
That's right. Yeah. So these insurance policies are financial tools, but only God can protect.
Absolutely.
Right. And so what happens if you understand that information as protection, somewhere along the way in the back of your mind, you realize that there could be an even bigger event that you're not quite covered for.
Ooh, that's right.
And this little nagging worry sits out there because your understanding of that information, and while it's true, is
could be catastrophic, go over your limits.
That's right. That's right. So
you get sued.
That's exactly right. So again, we need to understand that God protects us, not the insurance policy.
No.
But the insurance policy is an important tool. Another example, you learn about certain kinds of trusts, for example, that effectively allow you to control your money from the grave.
That information's true as well.
That is true. Yeah. Some trusts. We should have Mary Jo back on to just talk about trust.
That's touch right. On this for us, Mary Jo.
That's right. We will. We've referenced Mary Jo a couple of times, and we appreciated that interview with her. But certain types of trust, you can write language in there that will control what happens to that money for decades, years and years and years after your death has occurred. That information is true.
But what does that mean?
But what does it mean? And I mean, does that help you fulfill your mission as what God has called you to do? Does it help you teach the next generation of stewards to be effective stewards of God's resources? And you can't take it with you.
No, absolutely not.
So you're gone. And what difference does it make anyway, right? So.
And then God will entrust the next person with those resources.
That's exactly right. So that's an important question to ask. What is your understanding of that?
So just because you can set a trust up and it'll allow you to control things, does that mean it's a good idea to implement one?
It may or may not. But again, your understanding of that information is going to drive how you decide to what kind of counsel you get, what kind of direction you take, and it'll make all the difference in the world. We could go on and on. We probably have a short list of examples. Let's do one more. You hear that investing in stocks involves risk.
Oh, yeah. Everyone should know that.
That's right. Well, that's true. and you decide maybe that you are risk averse as an investor.
Ah, you don't like to take it.
So you just sort of write it off and say, I don't want to invest in stocks because it involves risk and I'm not a risk taker. So
we've heard folks say that before.
We have. Mm-hmm. That's right. We even hear people say that on the internet.
Yeah. I've seen a YouTube video on it.
I saw a YouTube video about that. So as a result, you don't spend a lot of time really processing that. You just decide not to be involved. Well, you could be hurting yourself over a very long period of time by ignoring the potential for growth.
Yeah, that's a good asset class.
That's right. And it doesn't mean that just because there's growth potential that you will make money, but a thoughtful investment management plan can help to manage risk and help you get. So again, these are just examples of how your understanding of the information that's coming at you can make a difference in what you decide to do and the action steps that you take. And that has an impact, and the domino effect goes on and on, possibly for generations from there. So, but all of these areas of planning, these are very complex, and sometimes folks just go, well, my goodness, there's too much there. I'll never understand any of this. And so I'm just...
It's easy just to throw your hands up and give up.
Throw my hands up. I'm just not going to do anything because I don't like the complexity of that. Right? We know that wealth management is. I mean, it involves the integration of cash flow planning and investments, right? And risk management, retirement planning, estate planning.
Yeah, these are all very important parts.
Charitable giving, right? All these different moving parts.
That's a very important charitable giving.
That's exactly right.
We do try to stress that with folks.
That's right. So it is complex. And maybe you feel like you just don't have enough of an understanding of any of it. And so you just say, I'm just not going to do anything.
Oh, that's a bad move.
That's a bad move.
Yeah.
It's equally bad as just going out and doing something when you don't have an understanding, right? So you've got this upside down planning going on as opposed to the right side up type of planning.
It all starts with a conversation, though. You know, you're mm-hmm. not going to jump in and hit all these bullet points at once, mm-hmm. but at least start talking and to folks, CPAs, advisors. You really need to start thinking about those.
That's right.
And we talked about in the last show how to start 2025 off on the right note.
That's exactly right. And we'll keep coming back and saying that over and over again at the risk of being overly repetitive. You just can't say it strongly enough. But you have to start with, again, a clear vision of and a clear understanding of your mission and your vision.
Absolutely.
What you're trying to accomplish.
And write it down.
And write it down. That's exactly right. Proverbs 11:14, right? In a multitude of counselors, there is safety.
I like that.
Yeah. This is so true. So we've mentioned some of those types of counselors, again, a financial advisor, especially when there's alignment, right? When there's values alignment. We've said that before, and we just really hammer that point home here again. But let's say you're sitting down with an advisor when there's alignment in values, and your advisor can help you to understand and interpret the information that's out there and apply it. Then there becomes wisdom, right? And the ability to make good decisions in those complex situations.
How does one go about finding an advisor that aligns with their values? Are there resources out there to find them? I know we always try to say find an advisor that aligns with your values. And some folks might be at home thinking, well, how do I do that, James?
Right. Well, one of the things that you can do is to write down the values related questions, or not questions, but the values related points anyway. And for example, if you want to build a faith-based wealth management plan, then quiz your advisor or your prospective advisor about how they would incorporate How do they incorporate faith-based planning into their practice and their advice to you? And have them answer that. There are checklists. People will quiz their advisors all the time on whether they are fiduciaries, and being a fiduciary is so important. But again, quizzing on values alignment becomes very important if that's the kind of relationship that you want to have.
And there was a resource, wasn't there? The Kingdom Advisors. I think we mentioned that on one of our shows as well.
That's right. KingdomAdvisors.com. That's right. If you go to KingdomAdvisors.com, Kingdom Advisors is an organization that really focuses and specializes in biblical values-based planning, biblically principled planning. So you can look up advisors that hold the certified Kingdom Advisor.
Which you hold.
I do.
Yep.
That's right. You can look up advisors that hold that certification, and that's a good start.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't mean that any of your advisor you would find through that resource might be a good fit, but it's a good start. So in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. So make sure that a financial advisor that you're working with has an open door to be able to have correspondence with an attorney that you may be working with.
Yeah, that's important.
And a CPA that you may be working with. So
it's important to have them all on the same page.
That's right. Making sure that that team of people can communicate with each other. And then, again, now you have some professional resources that can help to interpret the information that you are hearing, help you understand how that fits with getting you to where you're trying to go in your vision and your mission.
And they can help take that information and turn that into knowledge for you.
That's right. And action steps. Exactly right. Stay focused on your purpose and your mission. That'll help you to, again, just drop off the information that's irrelevant and stay focused on the information that is relevant.
Because there's a lot of noise out there.
A lot of noise. That's exactly right.
Well, I thought this was a great show.
I did too.
Yeah.
That's right. We are looking forward to, over the next few weeks, having recaps with some of the guests that we've interviewed throughout 2024. But
stay tuned.
Stay tuned. That's right. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720.